Good news, bad news.
Good, man.
Good news.
I don't know.
Thank you for the
In the Shulchan Aruch, they quote that there were Bali Hataisus who lived in England, and their wives and their children did not understand Hebrew. So the Magen Avraham quotes from these Bali Hataisus that you have to say the Haggadah in English. So we live in America, so if we have our wives, if the husbands, the wives maybe understand Hebrew better. If there are people who don't understand, the people who don't understand Hebrew, so it says you have to say the Haggadah in English. Yiddish doesn't say. It says English, it says. Bittul chametz also. The Gemara says on Dav Dalet Amud Beis, Mideraisa bittul bi'al masag. If you mevatel chametz, it's good enough. Min ha-toyre. Midirabbanan, you have to make bedikas chametz, but still, even after you finish the bedikas chametz, the Gemara says, ha-boyrik tzor she-yivatel. After you finish the bedika, you have to do bittul. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to understand what the bittul means. It's not just a mumbo-jumbo. It's not a hocus pocus. If you don't understand what the words mean, the words happen to be in Aramaic. So a lot of people want to call Chamir v'chamir dika b'shusi d'lo chazite. They're difficult. So it's best to either say it in English or to know what the words mean. You have to know what you're talking. The same thing Sfiras Ha'imer. Moged Avram says if a person doesn't understand what he's saying in the Sfiras Ha'imer, it's not yotzi. He has to understand it. So what exactly does the bittul chametz mean? What is bittul chametz all about? So the Gemara says on Dav Dalet Amud Beis, min ha-Torah, there's no need for bedike. All you have to do is bittul. What does bittul mean? So this is a famous dispute between Rashi and Tosfos. Tosfos quotes the Rashi and they disagree. So Rashi says, we have a pasuk in Chumash that says, ach b'yom harishon. Yom harishon means on Erev Pesach. Ach b'yom harishon, tashbisa sor mi batechem. So it doesn't say tivaru, it says tashbisu. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, you don't necessarily have to destroy the chametz. If you make an oral declaration, that as far as you're concerned, you don't plan to use it, you're not going to eat it, you're not going to get hanor from it, as far as you're concerned, it's considered like a piece of junk, like afra bialma, so that's bittul. That's what Rashi says. So Tosfos argues with Rashi. Where does he come off to say such a thing? The Tanoim have a machlekes later on. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu aim bir chametz ela b'sreifu, and he learns it out from Noisar, that you have a sarafta sanoisa beish, you have to burn it with a fire. And the Chachamim disagree that hashbisasa b'chol davar, you don't necessarily have to destroy the chametz davka with a fire. If you destroy it in another fashion, it's also acceptable. But atzara shovash behem, Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, and it's a machlekes and tesis. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav Yehuda? Do we paskin like the Chachamim? Should we insist our practice is we do Sreifa? Is that only a Chumrah? Or is that because we really paskin like Rav Yehuda? So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, how we paskin. But nobody says, we just make an oral declaration that I don't plan to use it, I don't plan to gain any benefit from it. And that's a fulfillment of Tashbisa. What kind of Tashbisa is that? There's even a discussion in the Rishonim, what if I have a ton of chametz, and there Pesach I go and I sell it to a Nochri? Am I in fulfillment of the mitzvah? I disposed of the chametz. It's no longer my ownership. When I sell it to the Nochri, I'm not in violation of by Matzah, but I didn't destroy it. So the Tosfei HaRosh, which was just printed from manuscript 10 years ago, less than 10 years ago, Tosfei HaRosh writes that you are in fulfillment of the mitzvah. That is a mitzvah. And the other Bali HaTosfos also printed 30 years ago. The Rabbeinu Peretz with the Tosfos Shans is printed 70 years ago. So these other Rishonim are not so convinced. They're not sure about that. If you sell a chametz to a nochri, the Pashta says that you're not. Reb Yehuda and the Rabbanu, they both agree you have to destroy the chametz. If you sell a chametz to a non-Jew, that's a way to avoid violation of Bayura, by Matzah. But that's
destroy your chametz. You can't destroy your chametz for the whole world.
No, okay.
So what is this?
I have a ton of chametz. So when I sell a chametz to a non-Jew, I have avoided violation of Bayura, by Matzah.
Where is the chametz physically?
I sell it to the Nochri and he walks off with it. And he takes it.
And I'm still responsible for it?
Not responsible, nothing. No.
To destroy it,
No. Am I in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu? Can I say? I say a bracha. Asher gesham zason al bir chametz. When I go do the bdikah, and I have in mind any chametz that I'm going to discover, I'm going to sell to a goy.
He walks off with it. The goy.
And then the goy walks off with it.
Why should?
Wrong. There's nothing wrong with it, but is
it? About
no, it's certainly good. I'm not in violation about your Rabbi Motzi. I didn't do an aver. Am I mekayim the mitzvah of Hashbisu? When you do the bedikah, what if I don't eat chametz all year long? I have a chametz free home, but I'm not in fulfillment of Tashbisa. No. The Minchas Chinuch raises such a possibility. He says maybe you have to buy chametz in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisa, and probably not. The Pashto says you don't have a mitzvah to, you're not mechiv to go buy chametz in order to have some chametz to destroy. But the question is, I have a ton of chametz. And then I say the bracha, al bir chametz v'na du bedikah. Why do you say al bir chametz? Why don't you say al bedikah chametz? The answer is that the bedikah is the beginning of the beer. Whatever I'm going to find, I'm going to destroy. I'm going to destroy it. But if I plan not to destroy anything, I plan whatever chametz I find, I will sell to the non-Jew. So the Tosi HaRosh says, fine. The Tosi HaRosh writes, that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisim. And I could understand the view of the other Rishonim. That's not a fulfillment of Tashbisa. Tashbisa means either you destroy through fire or you destroy Hashbasasa b'chaldava. But to sell it to a non-Jew, that's an Eitz HaTeiva. That's perfectly okay. That's a way to avoid violation of Bal Yerah, by Matzah, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisa.
So that's only a point that I'm using the commentations. Because Rashi here, your bittul is enough. You don't have to destroy.
I didn't do any bittul either. I have a ton of chametz and I sell it to the non-Jew. I didn't do any bittul either. I sell it to a non-Jew. So that's the question. Is that really a fulfillment of Tashbisa? Mid the Rabbanan, we require bedika. Right. Minatora, whatever chametz I have, I should destroy. Mid the Rabbanan, I should go search for the chametz. The bedika, some Rishonim claim that if he weren't mevatel the chametz yet, so then the chayvus bedikas min haTorah. That's based on the pasuk by Avodah Zarah. The pasuk says, "Abeiti adun es kol ha'mekayim es asher avdu shem hagoyim es alahim al harim," and so on. So the Gemara says, "Abeiti abdun." Why the kefal loshon? Why is it repeated? Abeit v'achakachti abdun. So the Gemara says that there's the mitzvah of destroying Avodah Zarah is not miyuchad davke teretz Yisrael. It applies wherever you live in the world. If I buy a home and it happens that the previous owner left the getchka there and he says you can do whatever you want, so I have to destroy the getchka. But the Gemara points out there's a major difference between Eretz Yisrael and a Chutz Laretz. In Eretz Yisrael, the din is tzorach l'sharish achreha. You have to search out if Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control and we can do whatever we want. In Eretz Yisrael, they can't exactly do what they want. They have a lot of churches there and they can't do anything about it. They have mosques all over the place. And they can't do anything about it. But if it's fully under Jewish control, so the halacha requires that abed ve'achakach te'abdun. Zorach l'shari shachra. You have to search for the Avodah Zarah, see where there may be some Avodah Zarah hidden. And then whatever you find, you have to destroy. In Chutz Laretz, the Gemara says, ein zorach l'shari shachra. If you happen to come across Avodah Zarah, I know my next door neighbor has Avodah Zarah, so it's not my responsibility. If I live in Chutz Laretz, it's not responsibility. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the responsibility of the Jewish people to see to it that Eretz Yisrael should be clean. There shouldn't be any Avodah Zarah anywhere if it's b'yocholteinu to do that without getting arrested. If it's a democratic country, you can't burn the other guy's Avodah Zarah down. But in Chutz Laretz, you're not mechuyev to. So that's what some Rishonim hold. That's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch had a paskin, the Mechaber and the Ramo. That some Rishonim hold that if you didn't do the bitul chametz yet, so bedikah is their isa. It's not enough just to destroy the chametz that you're aware of. You're obligated to search for chametz to make sure that you're not having any chametz in your possession. That's a chelik of tashbisa. But once you're mevatel the chametz, so the Gemara says that's sufficient. So this is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What do you mean sufficient? So Rashi claims being mevatel the chametz is itself a fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisa. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. How in the world is that a fulfillment of tashbisa? It's not like Rabbi Yehuda, it's not like the Rabbanon. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa, Davka through fire. And the Chachamim say, Hashbasas B'Chol Dava, but you have to destroy it. Not stam that you declare you don't plan scout's honor. He doesn't plan to eat it, he doesn't plan to get hanor from it. He's not going to do anything with it. So what is Bitl What does the Gemara say? That min haTorah it's sufficient with beetle.
Why can't you say that means that any method to get rid of it, even just beetle?
But you didn't get rid of it. It's still there. I have a candy. I have a box of cookies and on the table. So I say, I'm a vatla box of cookies. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to get any hana. I'm not going to feed it to the animals. So what? So Taisa says, so what? You're still in violation of Bal Rabbi Matzah. The chametz is right there. You didn't do anything. So he said, you promised to observe the laws of the Torah. I should hope he's going to observe the laws of the Torah. Just because he promises, so that's a...
Rabbi Matzah does not apply if it doesn't belong to you, right?
That's not so fast.
And Bittel doesn't make it that way. You make it hefker.
Oh, so that's what Taisus translates. Taisus says that the translation of the term Bittel means hefker. Rashi says that's not what it means. Rashi says mavatl, like people are mavatl each other. You are nobody. You are nothing. Bali Musa used to be mavatl themselves. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. And non-Bali Musa mavatl the other guy. You're nothing. So bitl chametz means, I say the chametz is a nothing, it's a nobody, I'm not going to eat it, and I'm not going to feed it to the animals, I'm not going to sell it. It's kafir di alma, it's like dust, which you can't do anything with. Rashi says bitl is the way we usually say bitl, you mabatl something, it's insignificant, has no value at all. And Taisus translates, a surprising translation, Taisus says that the word bitl means hefker. Psanaya translation, since when do you use in anywhere else in Shas? Use the word bitl in the sense of hefker.
So you have to say it in front of three people?
So the Rishonim asked that question. The Gemara says, Min HaTorah. The Gemara says, in the Dar Min HaTorah, you can make something hefker. You don't have to have any witnesses. You don't need Eidus Lekiyam HaDavar. You don't have to have a Bezdin. You don't need anything. I mean, the Rabbanan, the Gemara says, they made a takana that hefker is only valid. The hefker only takes effect if you're mafker it in the presence of three people. One should be able to pick it up to be Zeichem and a hefker, and two should be able to serve as Eidim. That he's Nishkin Ganef, that they heard me be Mafkirit, and they saw him pick it up, and therefore the whole thing is legitimate. So they made a takana de Rabbanon that if you make Hefker Shaloi Bifnei Shloisha, the whole Hefker is not valid at all. Why should a person want to make Hefker Shaloi Bifnei Shloisha? What kind of shtick is that? So the Gemara in the Dorim talks about a situation. There's a din in Aseres Hadibrois, the mitzvah of Shabbos, so it says, L'saska hamalocha atuvin chuitecha avdocha v'amoscha u'behemtecha. My behemah is not allowed to do any malacha. Why? The behemah is Jewish. Why is the behemah not allowed to do any malacha? The behemah is not allowed to graze in the field, to eat the grass. It's a malacha of kotzer. Yeah. Oh, so the Gemara, the Mechilta says, no, the behemah can graze. That's the Leman Yanuch. It's not a violation of the Leman Yanuch. So what does it mean, ato behemtecho? So what it means is that I'm not allowed to have my behemah do malacha for me. So sometimes if I have my behemah do shvisas behemto, so if I make my behemah carry packages, that's sometimes a malacha deraisa, that's considered my avera. If I use the animal, that's the koach hachamiyurabai, I use the animal to do a malacha for me. Let's say I'm hunting an animal. So I have a hunting dog, and I trap an animal by sending hunting dogs all over, and we trap the animal. So the Rambam says, I'm Chayim Misa, that's my malach of Tzod on Shabbos. Or if I use animals to help me do malacha, so sometimes the malacha relates back to me. So what does it mean, the Pasuk in the Chumash, Shvisas Behemto, that I'm not Chayim Misa? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Shvisas Behemto means, let's say, I rented my behemoth to the next door neighbor. Next door neighbor is a Nachri, and he wants to use the behemoth to plow or to schlep packages. So I rent him the behemoth for a month, or for 2 months. And I know he's going to do malacha with the behemah on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, that's my aveir of shvisas behemto. I'm not allowed to let the nochri use my behemah to do malacha. If I sold the behemah to the nochri, it's his behemah, so it's not my responsibility. Because the behemah still belongs to me, that's a din of shvisas behemto. So the Gemara has a discussion. What do you do? I rented my behemah to the next door neighbor. Or let's say I'm on vacation, and someone called me up from the farm that the next door neighbor, my goyish, next door neighbor, is using my behemah. He's going to use it on Shams to do malacha. We're friendly with each other. He uses my behemah, I use his behemah. We're never makbin on each other. But I never let him use my behemah on Shabbos. And now I find out he's going to use my behemah on Shabbos. I have no way to contact the goy to ask him not to. Or I know he's not going to listen to me. So what should I do? So the Gemara says, be mafka the behemah. If you mafka the behemah, say, not in violation of Shvisa's behemah. So that's where the Gemara, in that context, the Gemara Dharma has the whole discussion. that min haTorah you can be mafka the behema bein ola bein atzma. You don't need anybody to be present. And mid the rabbanon they made a takana that the hefker is only valid if you're mafka b'fnei shloisha. One person should be able to be zeichem in a hefker, and the other two should be able to serve as witnesses that it's legitimate, that he didn't steal it because he was mafkrit and he was zeicha. So the whole thing is legitimate. So that's what the Rishonim speak about over here. Even though min haTorah, even though mid the rabbanon you should really require three people to be present when the person is mafka the chometz, here they left it on a din d'oraisa. Since min haTorah the hefker is good even if no one is watching, so they left it on a din d'oraisa.
If somebody's being zeicha for it right away,
someone,
so two people for Adam, that the third person is being zeichut right away, and that he didn't steal it. So when did it become hefker?
I made a hefker for a moment, and then the other person was zeichut and hefker.
Okay, but is it stam hefker when I'm mafkir something? I don't know who's going to be zeichut, and anybody can be zeichut. That's what I always think of hefker. It's not because if I want to give it to you, I might as well just give it to you. Why do I have to go through the hefker?
Okay.
I mean, that's not hefker. Hefker is anybody can have.
Okay, if I'm only mafke for one group, it's not a valid efke. That's machlekes bisham and bisilva in the Mishnah. What if you're mafke la aniyim velo la ashirim? I'm only mafke for poor people. Rich people don't need my property. I put a $10, put a $100 bill on the table, put let's say 10 tens on the table, and I say I'm mafke the money only for poor people, not for wealthy people. So that's a machlekes bisham and bisilva. So Bishamay say that's a good hefker. Hefker ladim lo lashirim is good, and we pass like Bishilo. It's not a valid hefker. Hefker has to be like Perish Shvius. What's the whole mocker? Where do you see in Chumash that you have the ability to take your property and to declare it as hefker? So the mocker in the Chumash is, it says, when you have a field in Eretz Yisrael, you have a farm. And Perish grow during the Shnas HaShmita. So the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim HaShvius Tishmetenu Unetashto Ve'ochle Avyoni Amecho. You have to be mafker all of the Perish. You have to be mafka the peris to the general public, for everybody. So how do you, that's a pasuk is by peris shvius that grew in shnas hashmita. So then the Gemara, the Yerushalmi says, and how do you know that if it's not shnas hashmita? How do you know that apropos to nothing? I want to be mafka my jacket, I want to be mafka my watch. How do you know that such a hefker exists? So the Yerushalmi says, because the word is repeated. It says tishmeteno unetashto. So from the kefaloshin we derive yeshlech netisha cherishi kazu. Not only does Hefke work in Shtas HaShmit on the Paris that grew in Eretz Yisrael on the Jewish farm, it even works all the 6 years. Whenever you want it, we want to be Mafke anything. So Beis Hillel say, that's how we pass like Beis Hillel, that Hefke is only valid if it's similar to Shtas HaShmit. You have to be Mafke Lakol. Mafke Lanim Vela Ashirim. If you're only Mafke Lanim, it's not valid. Yeah, I'm Mafke Lakol, and there's only the three people there. So one of the three people, the other people don't even know about it. Let's say I live in the United States, so the people from Australia are not here, so they can, people from Europe, Asia, Africa, they don't live over here. People from California don't live here either. So.
Theoretically, they could come. In this
okay.
case, nobody could. This guy's going to get it immediately.
No, you have three people. If no one is interested, so it'll remain Hefka. We require that the Midrabbana, we require there should the theoretical possibility that three people should know about it immediately, that one should have the ability to take it and the other two to serve as witnesses. If all three will decide they don't want this junk, so they'll tell everybody else, chaver chaver islay, v'chaver de chaver chaver islay, they'll tell the public, they'll put an advertisement in the newspaper, and other people from Australia will come, and they'll be zoichem and a hefker. Okay. You just have to have the possibility. So l'maisem, we are mevatel l'chomets, so we say both l'shonis, we say, all l'chomets that we have, tibotel, the lehevi hefker ka'afra di alma. So we say tivatel we mavatle. What does that mean, mavatle? So we say the lehevi hefker. That's what Taisus says. The lehevi hefker. But according to Rashi, that's not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Many of the Rishonim are not so convinced. If you sell your chametz to a goy, you're yotze the mitzvah of tashbisu. So the Taisus Rabbeinu Peretz and the Taisus Shans disagree with this Taisus Harash. They hold that you're not a fulfillment of the mitzvah. Only the way Rashi says. Rashi says, "Vilevi ka'afra di alma." I consider it like the dust of the earth. I'm not going to eat it. I'm not going to get benefit from it. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to use it for any purpose whatsoever. So Rashi says that that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. So we say that both lashonis. We say livatel. Livatel means we're mevatel it, and then we want to spell out what that means. Vilevi hefker is Taisa's translation. Ka'afra di alma is Rashi's translation.
According to Rashi, afterwards, could he take it back after Pesach? Would that be like Lemafreya, he's saying, I really wasn't Mevatla?
I don't think so. No, for the duration of Pesach, he's Mevatla.
Nobody takes him up on it and say, it's a whole Pesach, and that's it. Nobody grabbed it.
According to Rashi, he wasn't mafkir. According to Tosfos, he was mafkir. According to Rashi, he makes a declaration. As far as I'm concerned, this is meaningless, worthless for the duration of Pesach.
According to Rashi, can anybody take it?
I don't think so. He wasn't mafkir. It's mine. But the, if someone else is going to take it, so what's he going to be makbid? He's going to say, don't take it. Why don't take it? Because I plan to use it. What do you plan to use it? He just made a declaration. That'll be an undoing of the bittel. If I say I'm a vatla chametz, then someone comes to a goy is going to come to eat it. Have a loaf of bread, and I say I'm a vatla chametz. Then the goy comes to eat it in the middle of Pesach. I say you have no permission to eat it. Says takya gneiva, but what am I going to say? You have no permission to eat it. So what was by bittel? Bittel means I don't care what happens to it. So if he's going to, during the duration of Pesach, if he's going to be makbid, no one should take it. So then he's undoing his bittel. But if he waits till after Pesach, that's not a problem. The Ran on the Rif has an expression
so
over here.
According to Rashi, you're saying you don't have to sell your chametz. Bittel should be enough.
Min haTorah.
Yeah.
The Gemara says Min haTorah. Yeah. You don't have to be baidik. You don't have to do anything. Just make an oral declaration.
So chametz be'en in the house, and you do, and you move on. You sell it to a goy. He still has chametz be'en in the house, right?
Right.
Even though he's mevatlin. So what happens then?
We sell to a guy, so that solves the whole problem. If it belongs to the non-Jew, so there's no bayir or bayi motzei, and it's not mine, there's no problem. I'm not in fulfillment by selling it to the guy. Many Rishonim hold I'm not in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisa. Rashi says by making such a declaration, I am in fulfillment of the mitzvah.
If someone stole, according to Rashi, someone stole someone's chametz on Pesach, is it a son of Kesef, like Bar Bishus having chametz on Pesach? Is it a sana kasur like yours for Geneva or only for Baliwa Balyamatsi? You said that according to Rashi, the guy would be over on Geneva. But I thought the sana kasur of Kilohim Rishusa Shaladim is only for Baliwa Balyamatsi, but not for Geneva. Would it be for Geneva too?
If he was not Mevatel Lachamas, so if he was.
Let's say he was Mevatel, but he's saying according to Rashi, it's still his. But I thought it's not his, only for Bayra Bayimatsa. Isn't that what the whole shot in that Gemara is? That's not his? It's not his?
There is a question. Isuri Hanor, the Mishnah in the end of the second parak in Kedushin says, you can be Kaddish and Isha b'kesef or b'shava kesef. We give a ring. So we say shava kesef is kikesef, the woman is mekudeshes. So the Mishnah says, the first Mishnah in Kiddushin says, the ring has to be worth at least a shava pruta. Shava pruta is a little less than 2 pennies. So the Kiddushin shava kesef has to be at least shava pruta. So the Mishnah says at the end of the second parak in Kiddushin, if someone is mekadosh inisha with the suri hanoah, with basa b'chala, with kloy hakerma, orla, seyanoza, petach hamar, gives you a long list, chametz b'pesach, gives you a full list of all the suri hanoah, tzipari mitzayra, from last week's etc. So the Mishnah says ain't a mekudeshes. So the Mishnah never explains why it's not mekudeshes. So the Rishonim have 3 different explanations. So some Rishonim say all Yisuri Hanoa are not shalom. Period. It doesn't belong to you. Others say why is it not shalom? It was mine. It was mine before. How did all of a sudden? How did I lose my ownership? So they say not that it's not mine. It's shaliv ain't a bishusi. The Gemara says what if someone steals my behemoth? Someone steals my automobile. I don't know where it is. So the automobile is still shali, but it's ain't a bishusi. So anything that's shali, ain't a bishusi, my bilus is incomplete, and I don't have the ability to be makne to other people. So if I have a ring that's also bahano, the ring is shali, but they argue it's ain't a bishusi, because al pidin, I'm prevented from using it for any purposes. It's also bahano. So therefore, if I'll be mekadosh anisha, I have to give her the ring. Since it's ain't a bishusi, I can't give her the ring. Al pidin, the mechira is not, the matana is not chaf. Other Rishonim disagree on that also. They say Yisuri Hano Ar Shalo, and it is Bishusai. So why isn't she Mekudesh? So they say no, different reason why, because the ring has to be a Shavu Pruto. Says how do you determine whether anything is Shavu Pruto? Kamahu Shavu Limka Bashuk, not sentimental value. How much would it sell for? If the thing is also Bano, you're not allowed to sell anything. You're not allowed to charge any money for it. If you sell it and you take money, you're in violation of Yisuri Hano. So that's why the third group of Rishonim, Rashi, and a group of Rishonim say that it is Shaloi and it is Bishus. So the only thing is that it's not called Shavu Pruta.
Okay, so
The others disagree. They say no. Vosep is not shaver puta. And if I want to, if I'm not religious, if I would be a goy, I would sell it. I would kamahu shaver limikashuk. It's worth a lot of money. So just because I'm a religious Jew, all of a sudden it's not called shaver puta. So they argue with that pshat. Each pshat argues with the other pshat. They hold that it's not shaver puta because al pidin you're not allowed to sell it, and you determine shavius of objects, of items, of commodities by kamahu shaver limikashuk. The others say, what do you mean? But if he wouldn't be religious, if he would be a goy, he would sell it. So it is kamahu shavalim kavashuk, it is shavar prutam. So the others disagree. They say, no, it's either ain't a shaloi, or some hold that it's ain't a bishusa. So that's the question. The Gemara says that chomets, mishay shos alamayla, chomets, after noon, after chatzos on Erev Pesach, is ain't a bishusa shalodam, and you really shouldn't be in violation of Bal Yirah by Matzeh, vasan akasuk kila hei bishusa. That's the Loshen Gemara. What do you mean, Eina B'shusay? The Sam Rishonim say, Eina B'shusay really is a melitza. It really means Eina Shaloi. Because it's Tasa Bahano. Anything that's Tasa Bahano is Eina Shaloi. Others say, no, Eina B'shusay is literally Eina B'shusay. It is Shaloi, but since you're prevented from getting Hano from it, so that's called Eina B'shusay. You don't have the right to deal with it like any other commodity that you have.
According to Tabrashi or Toysis, I don't feel myself. What's the Hajbos Osu Bechol Dover? We say we have some kind of thing, we have to do something. Neither Tabrashi or Toysis said you're doing anything with an object.
So Tosis says when you're mevat l'chomis, you're not in fulfillment of the mitzvah. It's just an etzet tovah to avoid violation of bal yirah by matzah. Once you're mafkirit, you're not mekayim any mitzvah, but you're not in violation of the aver. Like if I'll sell l'chomis to the goy, I didn't do any mitzvah, the pashtus, I didn't fulfill any mitzvah, but if it's not my chomis, so there's not bal yirah by matzah either.
But you still have to do the burning or
getting rid of it. No, minatora you don't have. Midrabbanan, you shouldn't leave it around the house. But according to Tosis, minatora, there's no problem. It's not my chometz. In order to violate Bal Yirah by Matzah, it has to belong to me. So once I'm afkarit, it doesn't belong to me. So there's no Bal Yirah. But I wasn't mekayim any mitzvah. And Rashi disagrees. Says no. The Targum Onkelos writes on the pasuk Ach Bayorishin Tashbisu Tevatlun. Rashi quotes the Targum Onkelos. So Rashi learns that bitul chometz is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. You're mekayim the mitzvah. So he says, how can it be? But he didn't destroy it. Not Aliba the Rav Yudah. Not Aliba the Rabbanon. Why didn't Rashi learn like Tosfos? The Gemara doesn't say that by being mevatel the chometz you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Gemara says, "Ben Atar, if you do bitl, is good enough." So why didn't Rashi learn like Tosfos? You mevatel the chometz, you mafkirit and shine. So it's not yours. You're not in violation of Bal Yirah by Matzeh. So the Ramban over here has a famous comment. He quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that there's a machlokes hatanoim that appears in two different brises in the Yerushalmi. One brisa disagrees with the other. What's the din chomet shel hefker that's sitting in my rishus? Am I in violation of Bal Yirah by Matzeh or not? So Tosfos says the Bavli says not. Tosfos says that's what it means. Mederaisa bebitul bi'al masagi. Once you mevatel means once you mafke the chomet, it's not yours. Not yours, and there's no Bal Yirah. And Yerushalmi says not so pashut. Half of the Tanaim hold that there is Bal Yirah by Matzeh. How can it be? How can it be that there's Bal Yirah by Matzeh? But the pasuk says la yirah lachosar, la yirah lachachomets. It's only if it belongs to you. So Rashi is following that other opinion in the Yerushalmi. Shalcho does mean it has to belong to you. There are two miutim. Shalcho yateroya, aval ateroya shalacherim, v'shal gavoya. So Rashi translates, acherim means nochrim. If the chometz belongs to a nochri, there's no bal yirah by matzah. Or shal gavoya, if it belongs to hegdish, there's no Bal Yirah by Matzah. That was also a machlokes hatanoim. In the earlier generations, you have Toseftas and Yerushalmis. In the earlier generations, they held Chomet Shel Hegdish. There's also Bal Yirah by the Matzah, if it's sitting in my rishus. And the Psak HaMekubal in the Gemara is not so. Shalcho Yatarayah, that two times it says Shalcho, La Yirah Lacho Chomet, La Yirah Lacho Sar. So the two Shalchos are a miut. Shalcho Velo Shel Hegdish, and Shalcho Velo Shel Acherim. So Rashi writes, Beferish, Acherim means Nochrim. Let's say two Jewish people share a dorm room together, and one is religious, one is not religious, and the non-religious one has chametz in the apartment. So Rashi seems to hold that the religious Jew, they're both in violation of Bal Yirah by Matzeh, the one who owns the chametz and the one who shares the apartment with him. Chametz shel Yisrael acher, Rashi seems to hold, that's how all the achronim say. Rashi seems to hold chametz shel Yisrael acher is a violation of Bal Yirah by Matzeh. Only if it's chametz shel hegdish, or if it's chametz shel nochri. Chametz Shal Yisrael Achad, there would be Bal Yira by Motze. That's how the Pnei Yeshua writes, that's how the Vilna Goyen writes. Many Achrayim assume that that's Pshat and Rashi. There's a Pilpul Sefer on Psochim that's called the Or Chodosh. Out of style. Nobody today looks in the Sefer anymore. But years ago, that was the hottest thing. The Or Chodosh lived in Rechnitch. When the Chassam Sofer learned by Rav Nos Nadler in Frankfurt, and he was and after his bar mitzvah, the whole story. Chassam Sofer, when his father was a religious balabos, a poshut balabos, when the Chassam Sofer was bar mitzvah, he said an original shtickel Torah. The shtickel Torah was he said over something from an Elta Zeta from a Sefer, and the little boy, 13-year-old boy, slugged it up. He explained why the Elta Zeta is wrong. So the father slapped him in public and said, "What are you, crazy? Disagreeing with the Elta Zeta, you're wrong." So Rav Nos Nadler was there, so he said, "Why did you slap the son? He's right, the Elta Zeta is wrong." The father didn't know who's right, who's wrong. He thought it's a chutzpah for a little boy, 13 years old, to disagree. Rav Nos Nadler told the Chassam Sofer as a child that by mitzvah, if you're going to stay by your father's home, you're going to ask Kakashan Rashi, your father's going to slap you. You're going to ask Kakashan Taisus, Hashver Ramam, your father's going to keep on slapping you. That's the only way to grow in learning. You have to ask Kashas. When the things don't make sense, you have to try to work on the teretz. Your father's going to kill your incentive to grow in learning. So he told him he has to leave his father's home. So he moved in by the Rebbe. Very strange story. He moved out of his parents' home. He moved in by the Rebbe. And then when the Rebbe was kicked out of Frankfurt, the Balabatim didn't like him in Frankfurt because he used to daven Havaras Svardit. Someone came from Eretz Yisrael and he taught them what's the correct pronunciation. So he davened Habaras Vardit, then he davened Usachari, and he wanted to introduce Duchening every day, a little bit too much for Frankfurt. So they kicked him out. So Chassam Sofer went with him, wherever he went with him. So after hanging around his Rebbe for so many years, so his Rebbe recommended, Ein gefallen mishagas, you should go learn by the Or Chodosh. So his Rebbe told him, so he traveled to Rechnitz. He traveled till he finally got there. He stayed there for a month. He did not enjoy the shiurim. And he came back to his Rebbe, and he continued to learn. And he never asked the Rebbe, why did you send me on the wild goose chase? Why did you tell me to waste my time? I didn't like it. He never asked any kashas. So 30 years later, the story goes, 30, 40 years later, he was a Rav in Presburg, and there was a din Torah between two balabatim. One balabal sold merchandise to the other one, and the fellow claimed that it was a mekach toys, it was damaged merchandise. And the Chassam Sofer had to give a psak. So he gave a psak, whatever the story was, and he wrote the psak and he signed his name on his stationery. So the police arrested him, the Chassam Sofer, because the merchandise that he sold, the Balabas sold, was illegally brought into the country, smuggled in, and they never paid taxes when they crossed over the border. And they assumed that the rabbi knew the whole story, and he's still giving a psak on his din Torah. He should have written that the whole thing was smuggled merchandise and the whole thing was illegal. So the Chassam Sofer says he didn't know anything, didn't even know that it was smuggled merchandise. They just came and they told me half a story that he sold this and shine. He didn't know. So the court didn't believe him, so they were going to put him in prison. So they have this story. There's a Sefer Chutam Shulosh, has the biography of the three generations, Rebbe Kiveger, and then the Chassam Sofer's second wife. The Chassam Sofer had three wives, one after the other. So the second wife was the daughter of Rebbe Kiveger. And then it has the biography of the Ksav Sofer, one of the children of the Chassam Sofer. That's it. Ksav Sofer took over the Rabbanus in Presburg after the Chassam Sofer passed away. And the book was written by one of the grandchildren, by one of the children of the Ksav Sofer. So these are the official family stories. So that's called the Chutam Shulosh. So in this book, he has this story that when they were going to convict the Chassam Sofer and send him away to prison, so one of the policemen in the court, usually policemen just watch that there shouldn't be any disruption there. No one should start tumbling. So he said, "Your Honor, could I say a word?" So the judge said, "Yeah. What do you have to say?" So he said, "I want to ask the rabbi a question." So he said, "Okay, ask him a question." He said, "Did you ever live in Rechnitch?" Zakta, "Yeah, 35 years ago. I was in Rechnitch for a month." He said, "Your Honor, the man is innocent." "Why is he innocent?" He said, "Because he was a young teenager, and at that time, all the... I used to stand there, I was a policeman in Rechnitch in front of the synagogue, and all the other children, the non-Jewish children, everybody would make fun of me, make fun of the police, make fun of the government. Everything was a big joke. This little kid was the only one. When he came to the synagogue every morning, he said, 'Good morning, officer. with such derech eretz for me and such derech eretz for the government, I can't believe it, that now that he's such a big rabbi, now he's going to violate the din of the Machus. It can't be. He must be innocent. So he was off the hook. So the Chassam Sofer said, after he was freed from the whole Asik, now he knows why the Rebbe sent him to Rechnish, not to learn by the Or Chodesh. Anyway.
Say good morning.
Yeah, to say good morning with derech eretz. Yes. So the Or Chodesh is a pilpul sefer on Psochim. It's out of style. Nobody uses the Or Chodesh now. But when we learned Psochim in the Yeshiva, Sir Rav Soloveitchik said, oh, I don't think he had an Or Chodesh either. He must have heard from his father that there's an Or Chodesh. So on Daf Mem Vav, the Or Chodesh quotes this kasha. The Mishnah discusses someone has Pesach Digi flour, not matzah mel. If you have matzah mel, you can mix it with water, and it's not going to turn into chametz. It can sit forever. The Chassidim are choshish for Gebrox, but non Chassidim, Medina de Gemara. If you have matzah mel that was baked already, ha'ofui, shebishloi, is not boli de chimetz. We're talking, you don't have matzah mel, you have real flour. The flour that they use to make matzahs out of. So I have such flour. I mix it with water on Pesach, and I'm about to bake matzahs, but you have to be mafresh challah. So let's say everything is tomei, and it's yontif, it's not chalamoy. So if I'm going to bake the matzahs, I'm allowed to eat matzahs that are tomei. But the challah that's tomei, the kohanim can't eat. So what are you going to do with the challah tomei? So if you'll bake it, you'll prevent it from becoming chametz. But you can only bake it if it's echal nefesh on yontif. There's no echal nefesh. Nobody can eat the challah tomei. So the Tanoim have this problem. Ketzem afrishin challah betumah biyontif, not challamoid. If it's yontif Pesach, and you take flour, Pesach, bigger flour, not matzah mel, you're going to mix it with what you're going to, you want to bake some matzahs, and you have a shir challah, so how are you going to be mafrish challah? Going to be mafrish challah, then you can't bake it. You're not going to bake it. It's going to turn into chum. It's going to turn into chum. It's going to be in violation of Bali Rabbi Matzah. What are you going to do? So it's a whole headache. So the Tana Rabbi Shua says, no problem. I don't see any problem. Lo zehu chomet shemisar mala b'bal yirah b'ay matzi. There's no b'ay yirah b'ay matzi because the chomet doesn't belong to you. So who does it belong to? It belongs to the Kohanim. So the Kohanim are Jewish. So how can you say, according to Rashi, that chomet shal Yisrael achad b'rishusi, there is b'ay yirah b'ay matzi? Here you have a b'feirish in Mishnah, that the chomet that belongs to the Kohanim, there's no b'ay yirah b'ay matzi. So b'feirish in Mishnah. That's what the Or Chodesh asks. So Rav Soloveitchik said, if you look in the Rashi on that Mishnah, Rashi gives you the answer. Rashi says, the chometz doesn't belong to me, and it, nor does it belong to another Jew. V'ze'enu shalcha, v'lo shalcha vercha, da'kate lamota liyad kayin. Rashi is beferish. If I would have given the chometz, the chala of chometz to a kayin, and it would belong to him, then I would also be in violation of Bal Yerabai Matzah, if it belongs to an individual coin. But I didn't give it to any individual coin yet. It belongs to the Shevet Kahuna. So just like we have a din, if it belongs to Hegdish, or if it belongs to Anochri, there's no Bal Yerabai Matzah. Why is that? Because Hegdish is not Muzer on Bal Yerabai Matzah, and Anochri is not Muzer on Bal Yerabai Matzah. So the Shevet Kahuna is not Jewish. Shevet Kahuna is a corporation, happens... All the Kohanim are Jewish, but the institution, the abstract Chal Hashem Bailus, that's called Chal Hashem. Bailus means a human being owns it. Chal Hashem Bailus means a corporation. It's owned by a dummy entity. So here, the Shevet Kahuna owns the Chalah before you give it to a particular Kohen. The Shevet Kahuna is not Muzer on Bal Yerah by Matzah. So that's what Rashi holds. Chemta Shal Yisrael Acher, there is Bal Yerah by Matzah. Zachrein, am I right? That's what it sounds like from Rashi and Mem Vav and Mebeis. Chometz that belongs to another Jew, there is Bal Yerah by Matzah. It doesn't have to belong to me to violate Bal Yerah by Matzah. It's a hafka. If it belongs to Hegdish, if the owner of the chometz is one who's not Muzer on Bal Yerah by Matzah, so then that chometz is excluded from Bal Yerah. So chometz shall Hegdish, a chometz shall Akum, a chometz shall Shevet Kahuna, there's no Bal Yerah by Matzah. But chometz shall Yisrael Acher, there would be Bal Yerah by Matzah. So that's what the Ramban quotes, the two opinions from the Yerushalmi, the two Tanoim and the two Brises. What about Chometz Shal Hefker, Birshusi? I have Chometz and I declare, I have cookies all over the house and I declare that it's Hefker. So Midir Rabbanan, you have to get rid of it. You may eat it. See, not allowed to leave Hefker around the house. But on the level of the Raisa, before you make all the Xeris the Rabbanan, on the level of the Raisa, what's the din? So Taisa says, that's what the Gemara said. Midir Raisa, be Bitel, be Al Masagi, be Mafkerit. Once it's not yours, there's no Bayirah by Matzah. Rashi is not so convinced. Rashi knows that the Yerushalmi has two opinions about that. So one opinion in the Yerushalmi is the Chomet shall hefke birshu si, there is bal yiro bay matzi. What attack? What's the machloikis? Whether Chomet shall hefke there's bal yiro bay matzi or not? So Rav Soloveitchik said the following. What's the definition of hefker? When the Rebbe Shlom created the world, so everything was ownerless. Then Adam Rishon started to grab up property. He grabbed karka, he grabbed metaltalim, that belongs to him. Then the rest of the world is still hefker. So he had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, everybody's grabbing things. So everybody grabbed everything, so it's no longer ownerless. So then a person has property, then he's mafkerit. So now who does it belong to? It reverts back to its original state that everything in the world is ownerless. Hefker means you declare it ownerless, you remove your ownership and now it doesn't belong to anybody. What do you say? No. Maybe hefker means you makne to the tzibur. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. It's a wild idea. Chazon Ish has in the beginning a Mishnayis Orlo. Chazon Ish has a Mishnayis Orlo. So there's a Mishnah in Orlo. What's the din hanatel arabim? A person, the din of Orlo means whenever you plant a tree, it says chumish in Parashas Kedoshim. Chisavoy al ha'aretz. When you come to Eretz Yisrael and the Titan call Eitz Machu, you plant a tree, a fruit-bearing tree. Varaltam or losoi. The first 3 years, the pears that grow, you're not allowed to eat. Most of the time, nothing will grow. The first 2 years, hardly grows anyway. But whatever grows is also bachilo, also bahano. So it says that it's orlo. So the pasuk speaks about a person planting a tree in his own backyard that belongs to him. What if he's planting a tree on a tel arabim? He's planting it for the community, for the tzibur. It should belong to the municipality.
His own property.
Yeah, so that's a machloik. That's a discussion in Mishnayis. Discussion in Mishnayis and Taisus and Pesachim. What's the din? So the Chazon Ish wants to know how is Hanatel Arab? I'm planting on my field. How does it belong to the municipality? Whenever I have, let's say, I have something that belongs to me, I want to give it to you. I just make a declaration. Hereby belongs to Rabbi Kitainen, and it belongs to you. You have to make a kinyan. So how is Hanatel Arab? The sapling that he's planting belongs to me. When I plant that, I declare this belongs to the municipality. Betushan belongs to the municipality. So the Chazon Ish says, yes, whenever you want to be makna to the rabbim, that's the halacha. You don't need a maaseh kinyan. And that's what it says in Chosh Mishpat. Chosh Mishpat, it says, if you want to be makna to an individual person or to two people, then you have to make a kinyan. If you want to be makna to three people, let's say there's a partnership and there are three people. So three people is already called a rabbim, and a rabbim are koine without any need for a maaseh kinyan. So Chosh Mishpat, it says like that. He makes a declaration. That's another thing. There are gemaras all over the place that if you have a strong gemaras das, you can even be makna to an individual person. Those are rare instances that this is a strong gemaras das and no need for a maaseh kinyan. You don't have such a strong gemaras das. So if you makna something to the municipality or to a rabbim, three or more, three people is called a rabbim. That's a machlekes in the Gemara Gitna. How many people do you need that it should be called a rabbim? Neder al das rabbim, neder shuhuda bar rabbim. Rabbim is three or rabbim is ten? So that's a shaila and din. How much do you need? So these rishonim hold rabbim is three. So the Chazon Ish wants to know, what's the mocker for that din? How did the Tanoim, first he shows where the Mishnayos are that say like that, whenever you makna the rabbin, there's no need for a maaseh kinyan. Then he wants to know, what's the mocker of Chumash? Who states that whenever you makna the rabbin, there's no need for a maaseh kinyan? So he suggests the mocker is from the institution of Hefker. The Pasuk says, Tishmetana Unetashto. So the original Pasuk goes, you mafka the farmers, mafka the peiris, agrosh nas hashmita. He declares it as hefker, and then the word is repeated, Tishmatenu unetashto. So the Yerushalmi says, Yeshlach netisha cherishi kazu. During the course of the other 6 years of Shemitah, you can be mafker anything you want. So we learn off in this pasuk that there exists an institution of hefker. So what does it mean, hefker? So we usually assume the hefker is the same as when the Rebbe Shlom created the world. And Sheshes Mei Bereshis, everything was ownerless. So after people grab it up, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine, then I can revert it back to its original state of being ownerless. So the Chazon Ish thinks that it's not true. Once you acquired ownership, you can never shake off the ownership. You can never make it ownerless. You can give it to someone else, you can give it to a group of people, you can be makna l'rabim. And he claims that hefka means you're makna to the tzibur. And there are two types of tzibur ownership. City hall and the streets in New York City belong to the municipality that they should remain. All the parks in New York belong to the municipality, and the highways belong to the state and to the federal government, whatever, the federal highways, they belong to the public, that they should remain in the ownership of the public. And hefker is a bailus of the public, that any, like Shevet Kahuna. Shevet Kahuna owns the truma before you pick out an individual coin. Shevet Kahuna owns the Chala Tmeo and Daf Memvav. Shevet Kahuna owns it. What, it should belong, it should remain Shevet Kahuna? No, any member of Shevet Kahuna has a right to take it for himself. So there are two types of ownership of the tzibur. The tzibur owns city hall and the parks of the city and the streets, that no one has a right to take it. It belongs to the tzibur, should remain in the ownership of the tzibur. And then you have hefker, belongs to the tzibur with respect to the fact that any member of the tzibur has a right to take it and acquire private ownership for himself. So we learn out from the pasuk of hefker that haknol letzibur, haknol lerabim, mischal without any ma'aseh kinyan. That's what hefker is all about. Hefker doesn't mean I cancel my ownership and mimela becomes ownerless. No, once you own property, you can't. There's no way to do tshuva. There's no way that it should revert back to the state of ownerlessness. You can be makna to a yochid, a makna to the rabim. So hefker means you're makna to the rabim. That any member of there, and not like city hall, that belongs to the rabbim, should remain in the ownership of the rabbim. You're makna to the rabbim, that any member of the rabbim has the right to acquire private ownership, like Shevet Kahuna.
Does any Rishon say something like this, or is this a total new Kiddush from the Chazonish?
I don't think any Rishonim ever tried to give definitions. You have Lamates Avos Malachas on Shabbos. So the first one who tried to give definitions, I think, was the Eglei Tal. Eglei Tal was just 100 years ago. Chassidus Rebbe. He was the first one who tries to give sharp definitions. Then the Mishnah Brura. Then afterwards, in the last 150 years, people are giving definitions. Before that, everyone was they used to learn with intuition. They hardly tried to give definitions. That's part of Rab Chaim's new Derech HaLimud. You give definitions for everything. Remember when we learned Gittin by Rab Soloveitchik? So the first day, the Rav asked, "What is Ashtar?" We're looking at him. What do you mean, what's Ashtar? What is Ashtar? Give me a definition. He didn't know what he wanted. Till he finally worked it out. What's the definition of Ashtar? Then he, what's Ashtar Kinyan? What's Ashtar? Right. Definition. Not Pilpuli Mahalochas. That was the first time we ever heard of such a thing, to give a definition of the terms. It's a recent thing. So the Chazon Ish, I think, is the first one who tries to give a definition of what does it mean, an act of Hefker. So with this, Rav Soloveitchik said, Rav Soloveitchik didn't know about this Chazon Ish. He said on his own, it could be that these two opinions in the Yerushalmi, if you have Chomet Shal Hefker Bishu Si, whether I'm in violation of Bal Yerah or not, according to Tosfos, there's no Bal Yerah. Tosfos says Shalcho. There's only violation of Bal Yerah if it belongs to you. So according to Tosfos, it's not really a separate meat, Shalcho Velo Shal Hegdish, Shalcho Velo Shal Akum. No, it's all one din Shalcho. If the Chomet doesn't belong to you, for whatever reason, it belongs to Shevet Kahuna, It's Hefker, it's not yours, it's Hegdish, it belongs to Nochri, belongs to Yisrael Acher. If the Chometz is not mine, Tosfos says there's no Bayura by Mots. Rashi does not think like that. Rashi holds the two different miyutim. Shal Akum is a Hafkor, because the Akum is not a Gavra who's Muzaran Bayura by Mots. Hegdish, Shal Hegdish is no Bayura by Mots either, because the ownership of Hegdish is not Muzaran Bayura by Mots. Chomet Shal Shevet Kuna. Shevet Kuna is not a Jewish person who's Muslim by Rabbi Matze. The Shad is, what about Hefker? So what's Pshat and Hefker? So the Rishalmi has a Machlekes. It could well be, this is Rav Soloveitchik said, could be the Machlekes HaTanoim, the two Tanoim in the Rishalmi argue, what's the definition of Hefker? If you hold the definition of Hefker is that it's ownerless, doesn't belong to anybody, so Rashi holds there is Bal Rabbi Matze and Chomet that's a Mayrish. It doesn't have to belong to me. If the owner of the chometz is mufka from Bal Yerah by Matzah, then his chometz is mufka. But if it's ownerless, it doesn't belong to anybody, so there's no hafkar. But if you hold that hefka means, doesn't mean ownerless, it means the way the Chazon Ish developed this idea. It belongs to the tzibur, belongs to the rabbim, so that any member of the tzibur has a right to take it, like Shevet Kahuna. The truma, the chala, before you pick out an individual kohen, belongs to the Shevet Kuna, that any Kohen has a right to grab it and keep it for himself. So Kozman that belongs to the Shevet Kohune, or Kozman that belongs to the Tzibur, no individual person took it, so it's owned by a Bailim, a Chalashem Bailim, who's not a real person. The Chalashem Bailim is just on paper. It's a dummy entity. It's not a person.
And that Tzibur is not either.
So the Tzibur is not Muzer and Bal Yerah by Matzeh. So Mimela, this Chometz is Mufka from Bal Yerah, just like Rabbi Shua says in the Mishnah Mem Vav, that Chometz Shel Shevet Kuna, there's no Bal Yerah, so Chometz Shel Tzibur, there's also no Bal Yerah. So if you learn Pshat and Hefka means ownerless, so Rashi would say there is Bal Yerah by Matzeh. There's no requirement, according to Rashi, there's no requirement that the Chometz has to belong to me in order to violate Bal Yerah by Matzeh. That's what Tosis says. It has to belong to you. If it's not yours, for whatever reason, there's no bayirah. Going to Rashi, that's not the word. If it's shal ha'akum or shal hegdish, that's a hafkor. Or if it belongs to Shevet Kuna, that's hafkor. If the owner of the chametz is a bailim who's not muzar and bayirah. So hefker would depend. What's the definition of hefker? If it means ownerless, then there will be bayirah. That's the one tana in the Rishami. The other tana says there's no bayirah. Chomet shal hefker. Because he thinks like the Chazon Ish, Hefka is not pshat ownerless. It belongs to the Tzibur, that any member of the Tzibur has a right to declare it as his own.
So in Rashi, according to Rashi, the Lashon HaKodesh, but whatever we accomplished, I'm still over, you said.
No.
What did Rashi hold?
Rashi quotes the Targum Onkelos. Achmi Amrishin Tashbistu Tevatlon. When you mevatl l'chomis, that's the fulfillment of
that's
the mitzvah.
Ownerless.
Not making, no. Tosfos says making ownerless. Tosfos says that Hefka means ownerless, and if the Chometz doesn't belong to...
Who owns it?
I own it. It's my Chometz. I own it.
But even the I can't have an order with somebody involved for
it. If I burn it, I still own the ashes.
If you burn it, it doesn't exist.
It does exist. It exists as ashes, but since I fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu, so there's no problem by Yerah by Matzah. So Rashi holds, when I make this oral declaration, I'm a vatlet ka'afra the alma, I don't plan to use it, I don't plan to eat it, I don't plan to gain any benefit out of it. So Rashi says that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu.
So this comes after Bittul, who owns it?
According to Rashi, it belongs to me.
So what do It's mine, but it's worthless.
Not that it's worthless. I made a declaration. I don't plan to use it. I started to say before, the Ran on the Rif concurs with Rashi. The Rambam also says like Rashi. A lot of Rishonim say like Rashi. It's surprising. A lot of Rishonim say like Rashi that being mevat lechametz is the kima mitzvah of tashbisum. A lot of times we learn Tosfos and Tosfos demolishes Rashi, and most of the Rishonim hold like Rashi. A lot of times like that. Malach Hashem Tzvicha Lugufa is such a long Tosfos. Tosfos demolishes Rashi, and most of the Rishonim hold like Rashi. It's not always the way Tosfos presents it. So here also, a lot of Rishonim hold like Rashi. So when the Ran sides with Rashi, the Ran and the Ramban, a lot of them hold like Rashi. So they say, Bittul Chometz means, his maskim daito ledas ha-Torah. Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to get on us. He makes an oral declaration. He plans to follow the laws of the Torah for the duration of Pesach. He's not going to eat it, he's not going to get any hanor. So Rashi holds that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. When you make an oral declaration that you plan to follow the scheme of Daita, the Daza Tur, you plan to follow the din in the Tur. So according to Rashi, the Chometz is still mine.
The Bittul has to come after Tashbisu.
According to Rashi, the Bittul is the Tashbisu. It is Tashbisu.
We're assuming he's going to do Tashbisu, he's going to burn it.
No, Minat Torah, he doesn't have to burn it. Rashi claims, based on the Targum Onkelos, being mevatel chametz is the key mamet. Tosfos says that's ridiculous. Either b'sreif or b'chol davar. You didn't destroy it. That's what Tosfos says. And Rashi disagrees. Rashi disagrees with Tosfos.
Rashi, there has to be an owner of that chametz.
According to Rashi, if the chametz is hefker, I'm still in violation of Bal Yerah. According to Tosfos, I have to own it. If it's not mine, I don't violate Bal Yerah. But according to Rashi, I can violate Bal Yerah by Matzian Chomet Shal Hefker. The opinion of the Yerushalmi that not, there's a different reason why not. The opinion of Rishami that there's no Bayiroah on Chomet Shel Hefker is the way the Chazon Ish explained, because Hefker doesn't mean ownerless. Hefker means that it belongs to the Tzibur, that any member of the Tzibur has a right to take it. So Tzibur is a Chalashem Bailim who's not Muzar and Bayiroah by Matzah. Tzibur is like Shevet Kuhuna, that is not Muzar and Bayiroah by Matzah. So this is a fundamental machlokes. So the nusach that we use, we say livata v'lahevi hefke kafir d'alma. So we're using a lotion. We want to cover all the bases. We're not sure whether we should follow Rashi and Tosfos. So we say livatel. We don't know what we mean. Then we say v'lahevi hefke. We're saying like that. Then we say kafir d'alma. We're saying like Rashi. We say whatever bitla is supposed to mean, whether like Tosfos or like Rashi, we mean to do it. We're being mevatel l'chametz. No, no. Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos is whether in order to violate Bayiroah doesn't have to belong to you. So Tosfos assumes that Davar Pashut, if the Chametz doesn't belong to you, there's no Bayiroah. And Tosfos doesn't think that there are two different miyutim, Shalcha Prat La'akam, Shalcha Prat La'hegdish. It's one din Shalcha. If it doesn't belong to you, there's no Bayiroah by Matz. And Rashi says, not true. There's one din Hegdish is Mufke, one din that Akam is Mufke. And then we say, Atzad HaShavish Abahem, whenever the owner of the Chametz is a Bailim who is not Muzar on Bal Yirah by Motze, then that Chametz is exempted. But Chemtzel Shel Yisrael Acher, Rashi seems told that there is Bal Yirah by Motze. A Chametz Shel Hefke, maybe there'll also be Bal Yirah by Motze, even though it doesn't belong to anybody. Unless you say the Chametz Shel Hefke belongs to the Rabbim. The rabbim is a bailim who's not muzar and bal yirah, like Shevet Kuna is an owner who's not muzar and bal yirah by matzah.
How do you answer the Tanya that Tosfos says about it? Neither like the
rabbanim
nor the
Rebbe. So Rashi relies on the Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos says Tashbisu Tevatlon. Targum Onkelos. The Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Pei Vav on the days has a machlokes hatanaim. We know from many places in Shas. There's a machlekes about the Yeshem La Mikra, Yeshem La Masoris. When you have a steer between the Kriya and the Ksiv. So do you paskin like the Kriya, paskin like the Ksiv? So Tosfos says in Sanhedrin, whenever you can blend in, whenever you can establish the din, blend in the Kriya with the Ksiv together, that's, everybody agrees, do like that. When it's an outright steer, then you gotta take a stand. So then it's a machlekes hatanim. So what do the words mean, Yeshem La Masoris? Masoris means we follow the Masoretic text. We follow the Ksiv. Yeshem la mikra means you follow the creed. That's the pashut pshat. So Rashi quotes a wild pshat on Pevov and Mebeis, and he says he never heard of such a pshat. Never, this usage never appears anywhere in Shas. So Rashi says Yeshem la masoris targum unkelis was nimsa la Moshe Misinai. And Yeshem la masoris means it says in the targum unkelis. So that's why that Tana holds like that. So Rashi has never heard of such a pshat. That's not what it means. Yeshem la masar shemoser unkelis hager b'chab. The unkelis says b'baisechad yochel b'chabura chada yisachel. That's what it means. Yeshem la masar. So Rashi kashili liomro. He doesn't like the pshat. Lo shemaite masaros kozem yoylom. I never heard of such a pshat. Yeshem la masar means you follow the ksiv, the masoretic text. It doesn't mean you follow what it says in Targum Unkelos. But Targum Unkelos is lemaisha misina. That is correct. Rashi said that's not what it means. Yeshem la masar. But the Gemara seems to say that the Targum Onkelos was Nimsa L'Moshe Misina. So we learn out things from the Targum Onkelos. So here, Rashi's opinion that by being Mevat L'Chometz, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu, Doshtet and Targum Onkelos. That's what the Rambam and the Ran and the Ramban, they all quote that Targum Onkelos. Ach v'yamish and Tashbisu, they say Tevatlon. We have the institution of Mechiras Chometz. So the Mechiras Chametz was really it was instituted not so long ago. What? Not really. It was later. The original Mechiras Chametz is patterned after Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres. Jews used to be farmers, so if a Jew owns cows and the female cow is about to give birth for the first time. That's called Behema HaMevakeres. It's about to give birth to a Bchor. It's a 50-50 chance it may be a Zohar, may be in a Keva. So if it's a Zohar, so it's going to be Kaddish B'Kedushas Bchor. So you're not allowed to use it for anything. You can't make a mum, and you can't shecht it till it's going to get a mum by itself, and it may take forever till it develops a mum. If it's in a Keva, there won't be any problem. So the Balei HaTosfos developed an institution of Bechiras Behema HaMevakeres. The Gemara says in the opening Mishnah, in the beginning of Maseches Bechiras, if there's a shutvis with a Nochri, either in the mother or in the Uber, if there's a shutvis with a Goy, so the whole din of Bechor Behema Torah doesn't apply. There's no problem. So the Jews in Europe were not interested in having a shutvis with a Nochri. They wanted to have a family business. They didn't want to have any shutvis with any Nochri. They wanted to keep everything in the family. But for the purpose of avoiding Bechor Behema Torah, there's an Isa L'Sabe Bechor Sherech V'L'Sogas Bechor Tzenecha. You can't check it, you can't use it, you can't do anything with it. So in order not to violate L'Sabe Bechor Sherech, so they used to make a shutvis with the Nochri. So the Rishonim had a whole machlokes, how exactly do you do Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres? You're selling Metaltalim to a Nochri, and the Nochri is not, if the Nochri, I used to have a next door neighbor, I used to put all the chametz in one carton, a couple of bottles of schnapps, and within half an hour all the schnapps was gone. And my next door neighbor died from a liver ailment. I always told him every year, I sold him for $10, and I said, whatever you want to sell me back after the holiday, I'll be happy to buy back. He wasn't interested in selling anything back. He drank all the schnapps already, got him at sea. I got all his bottle of schnapps for $10. He was very happy. So if you give the box of schnapps to the guy, he takes it into his house, so that's the best kinyan you can make. But the way we have mass production. Everybody appoints the rabbi as the shlich, and the rabbi sells everybody's chametz, and they don't deliver the chametz to the base of Shalan Nachri. He doesn't walk off with the chametz. The chametz is in our homes. We're making a kinyan michutz ledover hanikne. So how exactly do you make a kinyan with an Nachri if you're selling something, if you're selling metaltalim? There's one issue, how do you sell karka to an Nachri? Those are gemaras in Cheskus Abatim. And then the other gemaras in Bchoris, the beginning of the second parak in Bchoris, how do you sell metaltalim to the Nachri? So the Gemara has a machlekes, Rabbi Yechon Rish Lokesh, how do you sell metaltalim to a Jew? So that's a machlekes, that's in Perek HaZohav, in Bab Metzir. Machlekes Rabbi Yechon Rish Lokesh. So Rabbi Yechon is the opinion of the Dvar Torah Moes Koinis. If you sell an automobile, or you sell a television, you sell groceries to another Jew, so Dvar Torah Moes Koinis, when he pays for it, he acquires ownership, and it's only with the Rabbanon that you have to have hakbor or Meshicha. But Menatayra Habu Mashiach don't work, you need Dafke Mo'os. And Rish Lakish disagrees, says, no, Mashiach Mefaresh is Menatayra. It says, Beferish in the Chumash, Mashiach is Kainan. When a Jew sells to another Jew, it says, Bechisim Kemecha Amisecha Okano Miyad Amisecha. And it's talking, Dabra Nikna Miyad Liad is talking about Metalkalim, and it says, Miyad Amisecha. So you see, the Mashiach Mefaresh is Menatayra. So that's a Machleg Zabiechan of Rish Lakish. How do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yechon? Do we paskin like Rish Lakish? So the Gemara has a klal in Yevamis, in the first daf in Perek HaCholetz, in the many disputes over Talmud between Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, they took a vote. In the later generations, they voted. And the consensus was that they always voted like Rabbi Yechon and against Rish Lakish, with three exceptions to the rule. So based on the Gemara, Hilchos Rish Lakish Bitlas, Rabbi says, we only paskin like Rish Lakish in three cases. So this is not one of the three cases. So that's what the Rabbi Natam says in Tosfos in Kiddushin and Bab Metzia, that we pass like Rabbi Yechon and Dvar Torah Moes Koinos. And Rashi says no, that this is an exception to the rule, because Rabbi says there in Bab Metzia, Kro Masnita Messiah the Rish Lakish. Rabbi has a pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, in Parshas Vayikra of all places, by Korban Hashem Gzelos. He has a right from a pasuk, and he has a right from a Mishnah in Me'ila. He dug up a Mishnah, a Braisa in Me'ila, a Tosefta. And the Rabbi says, Kro Masnita, there's a pasuk and there's a Tosefta that supports Rish Lakish. So Rashi says, if it supports Rish Lakish, so the din is like Rish Lakish. There's a fourth exception to the rule. Usually Rabbi is the one that says there are only three cases where we pass like Rish Lakish. And here Rabbi says there's a fourth case. Rabbi Natam says that's not what Rabbi meant. When Rabbi said there's a pasuk and there's a Tosefta that support Rish Lakish, what he meant to say, Kro Masnita al Chore, indicative, seems to indicate like Rish Lakish, but we can knock off the rayas. That's how the Rabbi Natan reads the Gemara. L'chore, it's a right to Rish Lakish, but we can easily knock off the ray. So that's a machlegis Rashi in the Rabbi Natan. How do you pass him? Do you pass him like Rabbi Yechanan? Do you pass him like Rish Lakish? What's the significance with respect to selling to the Nochri? So the Gemara in the first daf and the second parak in Bechoris, daf Yud Gimel, and Aleph in Bechoris, The Gemara says that pasuk in the end of Bechukaisa that says V'chisim karamim kalam isecha akana miana misecha. So the Gemara says lamisecha bechado ula akam bechado. Whatever kinyan works by metaltalim between two Jews, it's going to be the opposite when you're dealing with an ochri. So according to Rashi, that the din is like Rish Lakish, that the Vatera Meshichem of Horeshes. Rashi learns Gro Masnita Masaila Rish Lakish, din is like Rish Lakish. The Meshicha is Kainim and Atar, that's if you're dealing with two Jews. If a Jew is selling Metaltalim to an Ochri, then it's Mois Kainis. Kesav is Kainim. So according to Rashi, whenever you sell Behema Hamavakeris, you're selling the Chametz, if the guy pays money, sure, so the problem is solved. He paid the money, so Mois Kainis. But the problem comes in, that's what Taisa says. According to Rashi, you got no problems. When you sell your Behema Hamavakeris, Taisa didn't have the institution of Mechiras Chametz yet. They only had the institution of Mechiras Behema Vakeris. They say, according to Rashi, your problems are solved. Make sure that the Nochri pays you the Moyes and Moyes HaKainis. But the Rabbeinu Tam holds not so, that we pass him like Rabbi Yechon and the Dvar Torah Moyes Kainis by Yisrael. So Lamisecha Bechod, Olaka Mechod. So the opposite Kenya works. So the only Kenya that works by the Nochri is going to be Meshicha. No, the Nochri is going to go to everyone's home. The rabbi sells the chametz for 100 balabatim, so the Nochri doesn't go to make a Meshicha by everybody, so there's no kinyan. So what do you do? So we have a simple solution. You make a kinyan chalipin. Make a kinyan chalipin. What does chalipin mean? The Caleb Shalkaina. So the Nochri gives the rabbi a handkerchief, in exchange for which the rabbi sells him all the chametz. When the rabbi is appointed by the balabatim as the shliach, there were two practices in Europe. 99% of the communities in Europe, they did like we do today. All the balabatim in the community would appoint a rabbi as the shliach to sell the chametz for them. There were rare communities in Europe where they had a different practice. They all sold the chametz to the rabbi. Now the rabbi has the bal yiroi, so the rabbi is selling his own chametz. Why they did that, I'm not sure. What they gained by selling to the rabbi, I don't know. But most of the places in Europe, they didn't sell the chametz to the rabbi. They would authorize the rabbi as a shliach, he should sell the chametz to the nochri. So when the rabbi is appointed, so the Rambam says it doesn't make any sense when you appoint a shliach, it doesn't make any sense, you should make a kinyan, it's not necessary, it accomplishes nothing. So that's what the Chazon Ish and the Stipler never used to make a kinyan when they would authorize the rabbi to sell the chametz for them. But then the Rambam in the next line does make sense out of it. So Rav Soloveitchik said, but the Rambam Faremf is the minig. So it is a good minig. It's not a minig shtus. So Rav Soloveitchik was very, very makbid about that. The Rambam knocks sense into it. So when you appoint the rabbi as a shlich, the rabbi should make a kinyan. When a husband wants to divorce his wife and he gives a get to a shliach to deliver the get to his wife, so the minig is, the Rambam writes, the minig is that the shaliach gives a handkerchief to the husband, in exchange for which the husband gives him the right to give the to act as the shliach. So by us, the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the balabos, in exchange for which the balabos gives him the koyach shlichas, that he should be able to sell the chametz for him. So that's when the rabbi is acquiring the koyach shlichas from the balabatim, from the 100 balabatim, is b'kelev shalkana, the rabbi gives the handkerchief. But then when the rabbi sells the chametz to the nochri, the rabbi can't give the handkerchief to the nochri. The nochri is the kaina. We pass him b'kelev shalkana, so the nochri has to give his handkerchief to the rabbi. Some of the rabbis are a little sleeping when they do the mechiras chametz, so they think that just like when they dealt with the balabatim, they give the handkerchief. So when they deal with the nochri also, they give the handkerchief to the nochri. No. Then the nochri is the kaina. We pass him b'kelev shalkana. The nochri has to give the handkerchief. So, if you do kesef, if you sell, the rabbi sells all the chametz to the nochri, and the nochri pays for it. So, according to Rashi, ois problem. Rashi paskins like Rish Lakish, Dvar Torah, Meshicha is kaina, where both parties are Jewish. But if one of the parties is a nochri, then the kinyan that works is moyes, so and the nochri paid money, so the chametz belongs to the nochri. But the Rabbi Natam says we don't paskin like Rish Lakish. We paskin like Rabbi Yechanan, the Dvar Torah moyes kaina, but both are Jews. One is an Ochri, so you need Meshicha. So, gay, fault agang. The Nochri is going to have to go make a Kenyan Hagbo by everybody's Chametz. So, you do Chalipin. So, Chalipin is the good. Taisus writes in Kiddushin, Dav Gimel and Aleph, Rabbi Natam used to deal in business with non Jews, and he says, Chalipin is good. When you're kind of from an Ochri, with an Ochri, you can make Chalipin. So, the Shach and Chayshim Mishpat, and Simon Kuf Tzadik is similar about Chalipin. So the Shach says he doesn't paskin like the Rabbi Natam. He paskins like the Ritvo, that Chalipin doesn't work by a Nochri. because the pasuk says in Megillas Rus, that's where the whole institution of Chalipin appears. It says, "Zot lefana be Yisrael." Since then, Zos lefana be Yisrael, so the Ritva and the Shach say it only works by Yisrael, it doesn't work by Nochri. So we do Ma'ois, according to Rashi, the problem is solved. But most of the Rishonim don't agree with Rashi, so we do Chalipin, but the Shach is unhappy about Chalipin, so you got to do some more Kinyon. So what we do is we make two Kinyonim that both have a similar Shaila. We say we are selling you the Chametz according to the Din of the Malchusa of the state of New York, or whatever state you happen to live in. And the Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Gittin that Din of the Malchusa Dina is a valid Kinyan. So we say you're selling the Chametz to the Nachri according to the Din of the Malchusa. And then there's another Kinyan that's called Situmto. The Gemara in Perik Ezel Neshech has. When I have barrels of beer, barrels of wine, and I want to sell it to someone, so the Minig Hamdina in the days of the Amoraim used to be, I would agree to sell it to you, we would agree on a price, I would mark down on top of the barrel, this barrel is sold to so and so. He didn't make any Maisi Kinyan, but that constituted a Kinyan Kifi Minig Hamdina. Or when you sell diamonds, in the diamond business, and when you shake hands and you say Mazal and Bracha, so that's considered a Kinyan Kifi Minig HaSochrim. So the Gemara says that's called Situmta. Situmta is when they used to write the name down of the customer on top of the barrel. No Kinyan was made, but that was considered a Kinyan Kifi Minig Hamdina. So if you say, I'm selling the Chametz to the Nachri according to the Dina de Machusa, and I'm selling the Chametz to the Nachri according to the Minig HaSochrim, and you shake hands. So these are two additional Kinyanim. So what's wrong with that? The Gemara says Dina de Machusa is good for Kinyanim with an Nachri. And the Gemara says that the Kinyan Kifi Minig HaSochrim is good. So the Ksois and the Nesivis explain what the problem is. The Mishnah Berurah quotes all of this from Choshen Mishut, from the Mechiras Behema HaMefakeres. So the Ksois and the Nesivis explain there is a Machloikas regarding a Kinyan Kifi Minig HaMedina and a Machloikas a Kinyan Kifi Dina de Malchusa, whether that works Menatar Midirabbanon. So if it only works, if it's only a Kinyan Midirabbanon, then there's a major Machloikas HaRishonim where the Kinyan Midirabbanon helps to solve a problem deraisa. Maybe it only works to solve a problem derabbana. So you have an issue about your rabbi matzah deraisa, so maybe a kinyan derabbana is not sufficient. So that's the pickbook on the two kinyonim. We do the kinyan of minig hamdina of shaking hands, and we do the kinyan kifi dina de machusa. We say we want to sell you the chametz according to the laws of the state of New York. So that's the pickbook on both of them. Some hold that this is their Isa, that's their Rabbana, some hold that that's their Isa, and this is their Rabbana, some hold that they're both their Rabbana. The Minig HaMdina with the Din and the Machusa, some hold that both their Rabbana. So because there's a Machlokes, so we're not so convinced. So we do another two Kinyanim, we do six Kinyanim. That's why you have to have a rabbi who's knowledgeable, that he should know how he's making all the six Kinyanim.
I thought when we do the bit though, we have all these different lashonim to accommodate Rashi and Tosfos and everything, so that takes care of the daraisa part.
But with the Rabbanan, there's still a problem. The Rabbanan, you're not permitted to leave the chametz around the house. So you have to sell it to a non-Jew. Make sure that it's boarded up, that it's behind a wall, so you shouldn't forget and eat the chametz.
Right, so what do you mean that the machlokes, whether the skin and the Rabbanan helps for the daraisa? So we're only left with the Rabbanan.
That's questionable. When I'm a vatal the chametz, am I a vatal the chametz that I asked the rabbi to sell to the nochri? Probably not. Some achranim say yes. Some achranim say you're mevatel chametz. So the whole need. How can you sell it? You were just mevatel. He said you're not going to use it for anything. So the pashta says that you're mevatel chametz that you didn't see, and they don't plan to sell. But the chametz that you plan to sell to the nochri, the pashta says you're not making a bitl on that. What do you mean? It's hefker. So if it's hefker, how do you go and you sell it? You say I don't consider it like anything. It's like dust. So then he goes and he sells the chametz and he writes down how much it's worth. But if it's worthless, it's meaningless, he doesn't plan to use it. So the Pashta says, like those Achrayim, that when you're Mevat L'chametz, you don't have in mind to be Mevat L'chametz that you're selling to the Nochri. The Chametz that you plan to sell, that's an issue of Bayurah Deraisa. So you got to have a Mechira that's going to be a valid Mechira Minatur. So we make six Kinyonim. So the additional two Kinyonim that we do, we have to rent to the Nochri the apartment where the Chametz is located. So every time when we ask the rabbi to sell the chametz for us, we appoint the rabbi as a shliach, not only to sell the chametz, we appoint the rabbi as a shliach to rent that room in our apartment where the chametz is located, So we'll accomplish another two kinyonim. The room where the chametz is located is rented to the nochri. Then the nochri is kind of the chametz with the kinyan chotzer, because the chametz is located in the room which he rented. That's mishnayis. That if someone rents a room, that the tenant who rented the room can be kind of with the kinyan chotzer. So that should be the best kinyan. So what's the shaila? So what do you need all of the other kinyanim for? So the Birchas HaZevach, Rav Shmuel Aaron Kaidenover was a contemporary of Yosef Karo. He was the last one. He didn't accept the Shulchan Aruch. He said, I don't need the Beis Yosef. I don't need the Shulchan Aruch. He gave Shiurim he didn't need. Then when he got stuck, his Talmidim would tell him what it said in the Beis Yosef. So a little bit he would use the Beis Yosef. So he was a great guy. So he has a funny, everyone has a quirk. Everyone has a Mishigas. So he had a quirk. He said, a nochri cannot be kind of with a kinyan chotzer. Why not? A nochri cannot be kind of with a kinyan chotzer, and this kinyan is not valid. Why not? Because the Gemara in the first parak in Bab Metzia has a discussion whether chotzer is kind of, I have a chotzer, and a dovashal hefka falls in, somebody put something in, I should be kind of. So the Gemara has a shaila, is chotzer kind of mitam shluchai? The chotzer is considered as if it's my shliach. A chotzer is mitam yoda, as if it's an extension of my hand. So the Rif and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, very strange, chosheh mishpat. Shulchan Aruch chosheh mishpat. We know in Aruch Haim there are differences between men and women. In chosheh mishpat also there are differences between men and women. So the Mechaber Paskin is like the Rif and the Rambam. The chotzer, the gavra, a man's chotzer is mitam shluchai. And chotzer de itza, chotzer of a woman is mitam yada. Why? Because by get isha, you can put the get into the chotzer of the isha. And if it's mitam shlucha, so it's a chayv. So how can it work? So it's a right. The chotzer of a woman is mitam yada. But chotzer de gavra of a man is mitam shlucha. So that Birchas HaZevach had this bug. He had this taina. If chotzer mitam shlucha, so there's no shlichas la'akum. A nochri can't have a shliach functioning for him. So chotzer of a nochri cannot be kind. So he had this ma'aseh, anochri can be kind. So the Ktzos and the Nesivis both say he's absolutely dead wrong. It's enough in the Gemara in the end of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara talks about selling wine to the nochri. You better make sure that the nochri pays you before he touches the wine. If you're going to sell the wine to the nochri, he's going to start touching it, he's going to drink it, then he makes everything also b'hanoah, then he's paying you. He's paying you for the Yisur HaNoah. So you're not allowed to take the money. So make sure that the nochri is kind of the wine before he pays you. Make sure he pays you before he touches it. So the Gemara says, and how do you make sure the nochri is kaina? So the Gemara says, make sure he's kaina with the kinyan chotzer. Pour the wine into his barrel. If you pour the wine into his barrel, that's a kinyan chotzer. Chotzer is not only if it's in my apartment, if it's in my barrel, it's a kinyan chotzer. It says, befeimshi Gemara, the chotzer works by goy. Why don't you say, but it's a taina, what the Birchas HaZevach said. Chotzer is mitam shlucha, and there's no shlucha. It's a kasha, and there's an answer on it. You have to figure out what the answer is. But you can't say halacha lemaisa, the chotzer doesn't work. But we paskin, it's not mitam yoda. So the Chasam Sefer was careful always to sell to a shiksa, to a non-Jewish woman. How did he shake hands? I don't know. He makes six kinyonim. So what did kinyonim mean? He shake hands? So maybe she wore gloves? Maybe he wore gloves. I don't know. He doesn't explain what did he do with the hanshlak. He doesn't talk about that. I don't know. So the Chasam Sofer on the side of the Shulchan Aruch writes, he was always medaktek to sell a chametz to a nochris, because a chotzer de itza, the chotzer of a woman is mitam yodai. Chotzer of a non-Jewish woman is also mitam yodai. The whole difference between chotzer of a man, chotzer of a woman, is learned off in the parsha of get. But by non-Jewish woman, there's no get. So he assumes that this distinction between chotzer de gavra, chotzer de itza, even applies to non-Jewish people. So the Birchas HaZevach threw in this monkey wrench. He says that chotzer doesn't work for a nochri, and therefore you got to do a different kinyan. Even though the Ktzos and the Nesivos say that he's dead wrong, out of respect for the Birchas HaZevach, we don't want to violate his opinion. That's why we stand on ahead and we make another five kinyan. He's wrong. It's against it. There's no way to for him for the Gemara. He's wrong. But just that he said it, so out of respect for the Birchas HaZevach, so we make more kinyan. So the sixth kinyan that we make is not kinyan chotzer, but rather kinyan agav. We rent, then for agav purposes, you don't have to rent dafke that room where the chotzer is located. for the purposes of kinyachotz, you have to rent that room where the chometz is located. So the chutz, so the nachri is kind of the chutz, the chometz with the kinyachotz. Kinyachotz, the chometz has to be in that chutz that the nachri rented. Then we make the sixth kinyan is a kinyan agav. We rent the nachri any chotzer. For the purpose of chotzer, you got to rent him this room. But we can, for agav, you can rent any room to the nachri. And we say, we're renting you, either selling or renting real estate to the nachri. And metaltali maniknim agav karka. Once you make a kinyan, either purchasing karka or renting karka, you make a kinyan on the karka, so you can be koin of the chomitz, which is metaltali agav of the karka without any need. For any ma'aser kinyan on the chametz,
they do not have any kelim in there.
I'm not selling them the kelim. I'm only selling them the chametz.
But the kelim was there in the chutzner.
No, I said I'm not selling. I'm only selling chametz. I'm not selling. I have furniture there too. I'm not selling the furniture. No, it's kinyan agav. He said what you're selling agav the karka. So why do you need the other five kinyanim? So let agav be good enough. So the tzaisachayshin threw in a monkey wrench on the agav.
A monkey wrench is lying around here.
Yes. There's a Bikias, there's a Taisus in the first parak in Bava Kamma, where Taisus has a whole shtickle Torah on a Gemara, Daf Yud Aleph. So Taisus says the answer, the key to the difficult Gemara is, Kinyan Agav doesn't say in Chumash anywhere, it only appears in Sefer Divrei Hayomim. So since it's not in Chumash, it's only the Rabbanon. So it's the Rabbanon, so what? So the Taisus raises a possibility, maybe the Chachamim only introduced Kinyan Agav the Rabbanon for Jews. Maybe they never introduced Kinyan Agav that a Nochri should acquire ownership. Or you have the other Shaila, does the Kinyan the Rabbanon help to solve the problem the Raisa? Right. And even though the Taisus in the first Perek in Kedushin says not so, Rabbi Kivege Tzechen Zon, Taisus in the first Perek in Kedushin said beferish that Agav is a Kinyan the Raisa, it's not the Rabbanon. But because Taisus in Bava Kamma said that Agav is only the Rabbanon, so that's why the Taisus says that it's questionable. So bottom line, we make six Kinyanim. Chalipin, we assume, most assume Chalipin is a Kinyan Deraisa. Yeah, yeah, but it says, Vazos Lefanim B'Yisrael. This was an old practice. That's the question. Just because Agav is only mentioned in Dibra Yama doesn't necessarily mean that it's Derabbanan. Maybe the Pasuk in Dibra Yama is recording. This was the practice that they did. But by Chalipin, it says, Beferish, Vazos Lefanim B'Yisrael, this was the old practice. So Chalipin, we assume, is a Din Deraisa. So the rabbi has to be very knowledgeable. He has to know, he has to be able to explain to the Nachri also. You have to have a Nachri who's very alert. You have to explain, we're making six different kinyanim because we're not sure legally which kinyan works. So that's our practice. And the whole setup is carried over from the Mechiras Behema HaMefakeres. Mechiras Behema HaMefakeres, the cow is about to give birth for the first time, may give birth to a male, in which case it'll be a korban, you can't shecht it, you have to wait till it gets a mum, and you can't make the mum, it's also to be matal mum. So the Rishonim recommended that you make a Mechiras Behema HaMefakeres to make a shutfas akum. So we carry over the whole thing to Mechiras Chametz. You have to do Mechiras Chametz. I remember once I was in the middle of Shir, and someone runs in and he tells me there's a telephone call for me. So I say, tell him I'm in the middle of Shir. So he says, he told him that, and the person says, very urgent. It's urgent, Kuach Nefesh, I come to the phone. So it's a rabbi from the Midwest, a few, 20 years older than me, and he tells me, it's mamish urgent. Abroch, he has a balabos, he became a bal tshuva, and he starts studying kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he's a farmer, and he owns behemoths, and it's the springtime, it's Chodesh Nisan, and about to give birth. And it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, you have to consult the rabbi how to do Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres. So how does he do Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres? So I ask him, he's much older than me. So I said, did you ever do Mechiras Chametz? Did he ever do Mechiras? He always does Mechiras Chametz. I said, exactly the same way you do Mechiras Chametz, that's how you do Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres. Mechiras Chametz is patterned after Mechiras Behema HaMevakeres. So he asked me on the phone, maybe we can review again how you do Mechiras Chametz. Yeah,
like
that's what he said. Abroch, the balabas became a bal tshuva and he's studying kitzur shulchan aruch. Baruch Hashem that he's studying kitzur shulchan aruch and he knows that you have to make a shutzus with the akum.
So before they had this old chumitz business when they did the behema bakaris, what kind of kinyanim did they make?
Made all the six kinyanim, and whoever didn't make all the six, it'll be a shaila. But you don't need all six. We do all six. That's lamahajim and amahadim. So the achrayim have a discussion. What if you only did three? What if you only did two? Can you rely on this and that? But see if that.
Some of these things came out from achrayim.
Yeah.
So, but when the rishonim did the batira, they didn't do the stuff that
sometimes they would do mamish hakbor. The nochri would pick up the behemah. Yeah, but when they wouldn't actually pick up the behemah, then they would have a big. It would always be a machlekes which kinyanim you make. Just as a footnote, though, it's questionable. We say according to Rashi, your problem is solved. Rashi holds that we pass him like Rish Lakish. The Vatoira Mishicha is kinda when the two Jews involved. So therefore, by a nochri is fakir. Kisim kamen kalam isecha. Avalakum is the other kinyan. Whichever kinyan works by the Jew, the other kinyan works by the Nochri. So Lamisecha is ben Mishicha. Rashi Paschon is like Rish Lakish. Mishicha works ben Torah to a Jew. And to a Nochri, it has to be Mo'os. So we say if the Nochri pays, so he's kind of with a kinyan Mo'os. So it is a major question that in the yeshivas they discuss. How come it says when you sell karka to someone else, a karka is nicknames bekesef? How come it says when you sell a metalfum is nicknames be Mo'os? Why did they change the lotion? Why don't they say Kesef? So Rav Soloveitchik has a whole fantastic Shtikl Torah. And Rav Lezer Shach has the exact same thing, word for word, letter for letter. The whole Shtikl Torah is safe on the Rambam. They didn't hear from each other. They're both mechavim to the same shot. So they distinguish between the two, the same word. They distinguish between Kesef and Mo'os. The Kesef is a symbolic act. I'm buying a piece of real estate that's worth $10 million. I give you a dollar, I give you half a dollar, I'm kind of the whole real estate. That's Kesef. That's a symbolic kesef kinyan, we call it. Not kesef piraon. I'm not paying the whole demand mecca. But when you buy metaltalim and metaltalim, you hold that mois hakoinis. Mois means you paid the meha mecca. So if the nochri isn't paying the value of all of the chomets, just giving a dollar for every balabos, he's giving a pruta for every balabos, he's giving $20 and he's buying hundreds of dollars worth of chomets. So it's according to this pshat, he's not kind of all the chomets. So what you have to do is you have to say, I'm selling you all the chametz, and the price is, he adds up, the rabbi adds up the value of everybody's chametz, the value of all the chametz is $5,000, let's say, $20,000, whatever it happens to be. The nochri gives the rabbi $20, and the rabbi says, the shar with zaykev follow the milveh. The whole debt for the demei hamekach is considered paid up, and you owe me the remaining $4,980, the nochri only paid $20 out of the $5,000, so he says the remaining $4,980 you owe me as a chov bi'alma, not as the mehamekach. So the mehamekach is all paid up. So that's why the poskim insists that you have to have, that's called zekifas milveh. The rabbi shouldn't say, just give me $20 and you acquire ownership of all of the $5,000 worth of chametz. If you hold that moyes hakoinos, that's not moyes, that's kesef. Moyes means you're only koinah can regard how much you paid to the extent that you didn't pay the mehamekach, you're not koinah. So we want to declare that the demand mekach is all taken care of. The remaining $4,980 that the nochri owes is a chov bi'alma. And if he doesn't pay, he won't hold back the kinyan. So that's why the rabbi has to explain that also to the nochri. What does it mean? Skifas milga.
People. It's deposit, basically, right?
It's not really deposit. That's in full payment for all of the chametz. And the remaining money, he owns him as a debt.
If he, like an IOU.
You're right, like an IOU, a chov bi'alma. It's not the mehamekach. The mekach is all paid up, and it's a side chov. So you have to have a nochri who's intelligent enough. Some rabbanim sell the chametz to lawyers. A nochri, a lawyer, who understands right away. He needs six kinyanim, has to be legal. They tell him 1, 2, 3. And he has to understand what the lawyer. Okay, so then Gesundheit. Okay, very good. A good night to everybody.